Before we begin this episode, we acknowledge that the First Nations people of Australia are and always will be the traditional custodians. We pay respect to all those who have come before us and lead us now, and acknowledge that together we must learn from the past to continue to move forward and reconcile.
This is Tegan.
And this is Kate.
And welcome to
Hard Rock Crochet.
Every month we have a creator come on for a shout out episode, and we are so, so lucky to have the author and founder, or editor and founder, the woman of it all for Yarnology magazine, Sarah Price.
Oh, cannot wait. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Hi, good evening.
Hey guys, I don't know if my volume's working.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Is it working now?
We can hear you, yeah.
Ah, there we go. Yeah.
And I'm just like admiring your plant in the background.
Yeah.
He has a name. She's called Ruby.
Oh, Ruby's beautiful. And she's doing better than mine.
She is one of many children's plants.
I hear you.
I love it.
Well, good evening and thanks for joining.
Thank you for asking me.
Oh, lovely. I got my copy this week. And I haven't been able to put it down. You can't call it a magazine, Sarah. It's a book. I can't get over the quality of this.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is more like a book.
I keep telling my daughter, I'm like, don't touch it. Don't get your rubby hands near it. This is not a sticker book. You can't touch it. It's just like a work of art. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Coffee table worthy. Yep.
Absolutely. So yeah. So we're very excited to talk to you tonight, and thank you for taking the time to.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited to talk to you too. It's actually the first podcast I've done, so. Hopefully goes
all right. All same for us, you know.
Normally I'm the one doing the interviewing, so.
Well, the tables have turned. Not that, that we really, I don't know if we can call it much of an interview. We just seem to just chat.
Yeah, but it never goes to plan.
Stuff tends to flow better if you just have a casual chat. That's what I always do. Like, it's just, you just talk to people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. So you're a Queenslander, I see. You're based on the sunny coast.
Yes, Noosa.
See, we're finally talking to someone in my neck of the woods.
Oh, are you here?
Well, I'm Brisbane. I'm in the Redlands.
Yep. Well, that's not very far away.
No. So, closer than where Tegan is.
So you're you're having this very crummy winter then too that we're just not used to up here.
It's not fun. Oh, it's not fun.
We've had like hurricane winds for the last 48 hours. It's been fantastic. Furniture going everywhere, trampolines in other people's yards. It's great.
Are you in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure it's been on the news, us complaining.
Odd. Very, I don't know. That's a whole nother topic, isn't it? Climate change. But anyway.
This is true.
So for those of you who don't know who you are, Sarah, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Who you are.
I'm the editor / founder of Yarnology, which is a magazine, it's more of a journal style magazine that aims to inspire knitters, crocheters and yarn lovers. So we focus solely on the Southern Hemisphere. So all of our stories are from Australian and New Zealand people in the industry, just because it's just nice to have something that's really locally focused. We publish 2 editions a year. We are, unlike a lot of other craft magazines, we don't publish patterns. So we're more of a journal like other industries have, where we're publishing stories and content and interviews and articles. So it's all content. There aren't any patterns in the magazine, which is very unusual for our industry. So if you love reading, then you'll love Yarnology. And we try and do interviews with designers, makers, growers, people who are making the yarn and producing it. just to really inspire and uplift people. And then we also do informative, what I call our informative articles, which are like in volume two, we looked at what woolen and worsted spun is, so what that actually is and what it means when we're making with it, because a lot of terms get thrown around and no one really stops to go, oh, this is what that actually is. So we try and do that as well. Yeah.
It is an inspiring analogy. It is an inspiring journal because you just read through it, you're just like, oh, I don't need to do that. Oh, I had no idea that's what that meant. It is full of information. It really, yeah, really inspiring.
I spent a full day just going through this, and I've reread a few of the different articles and stories in this. And each time I've reread it, and I've gone, oh, like you just sort of get something else out of it each time you look at it. Yeah. And the whole design of it, Sarah, is just, it's so chic and modern and just, it's, yeah. If you're listening and you haven't checked out the Instagram page for Yarnology, go over, you'll see what I'm talking about. It is just, yeah. And the name is so, how did you come up with the name?
The name was from like a really long late night brainstorming session actually with one of my sisters. Because it was very deliberately named. I didn't want to call it something to do with knitting or crochet or like eye craft in particular, because then that's really annoying if it's called, say, knit something or other, but then it's got other crafts in it or vice versa. I wanted it to be yarn because that's the whole focus of it, is anything made with yarn. And we came up with a few names. One we actually have kept, as it's actually become a bit of an inside joke here, one of the names that we came up with, we didn't call it, and Yarnology ended up coming up because it's it is sort of a study of yarn. It's we get quite nerdy about yarn in the magazine and all things made with yarn. Like, it's definitely not for people who don't like yarn. So Yarnology just seemed to sum it up really nicely. And I just opted to spell it with an IE just for something a little bit different. And I liked it, the way it looked better than it ending with with a Y, just to balance it out. Yeah. I'm just looking at it here while I'm talking about it. I've got one next to me at the name of it. Some people occasionally, most people get the name straight away. I've had a few people pronounce it as Yarnology, which is a little bit different.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Most people get Yarnology straight away. So I just thought it really encompassed everything that it's about. Like, it's anything to do with yarn. Obviously, it's mostly knitting and crochet, but we've had embroidery and stuff in there before too, when they've used yarn for it and everything. So it just, but yeah, it was a very long, one of those long where you just start a conversation and you're still going late at night and you've got the list of paper and you're trying to, you write down all the words you like and you play around with stuff. Yeah, there was a lot of evolution before we got to that with it.
It's very fitting. I can't say that I would have pronounced it Yarnology, but I can definitely definitely see that.
Look, we start a trend.
Yeah, maybe it can be its alter ego.
Alter ego.
To be fair, it's mostly people outside of the industry that I've had say that. Like, if I've been on the phone to insurance people or anything like that, and they're like, Yarnology, I'm like, yeah, okay, you can call it that.
It's like calling, you know, Brisbane and Mackay and Canberra and Melbourne.
Berwick.
Yes, yes. So tell us, was it just something that you saw a gap in the market, or you just had like this dying passion to, you know, spread your joy and love for yarn? How did it get started?
I probably a little bit of both. There, I really like reading. I used to have a blog when blogging was all the rage before social media killed that. So I loved, you know, you got to read everyone's stuff, because everything's very image focused now, you know, it's photos and a small caption. I've always really liked reading. And I felt like no one is stopping to tell anyone's stories. Like, there's not really a medium or a platform where it's, you get like long form interviews and stories and articles. Like, no one was doing that. And because I've got a background in blogging, and I'd also written for other magazines, not craft ones, ironically, actually gardening magazines. I did have a little bit of that experience. Yeah, I just decided to start it. Yeah, I just decided to give it a go. I had no idea it was going to end up here. When I first published it, it was a digital PDF. It was tiny. I think it had like one long interview in the first one, one little short interview, and then maybe another article or two. Like, it was really small, just a little PDF. And I was really amazed at the response to it from the get-go. Everyone was really excited about it, especially that being Australian, because I think we're all a bit deprived of that in this marketplace.
Yes, so true.
Yeah, everyone just sort of went crazy for it. So it's just really grown from there. And I really like hearing people's stories. I'm really like knowing about people and what they're doing. I find pretty much anything interesting if it's about people. So every person I talk to, because I interview a lot of, I write a lot of the articles myself, we're getting a few more submissions coming in now, which is really nice, but mostly I do all of the content. You get to know so much about people when you talk to them, and pretty much everything, everyone's got an interesting story if you kind of give them the space to tell it. Like, people are like, oh, I just knit or I just crochet, I don't know if that's interesting, but then when you start talking to them, there'll be something interesting there, so that's really good too.
I must say, I think everyone I know that does some sort of yarn craft, that it's not just I knit or crochet or I embroider or whatever. There's always a story that comes along with that. You know, for me, you know, it's my family legacy from my nana. You know, it's passed down generations, and it's so, like, when people ask me about it, I always go, yeah, my nana taught me to knit, and it creates this whole conversation around, yeah.
But, yeah, and know. All the memories you've got involved, like, that's around right. that, around just being around people that were, you know, it's not just literally knitting or crochet or spinning or whatever you're doing. It's sort of, it's a little bit like cooking and recipes. It's not literally, oh, this recipe's been handed down and that's where it starts and ends. It's all the memories and the stuff associated around that. I think craft's really similar to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. And so, and your background's in knitting. Do you dabble in anything else, or is it knitting sort of where you stay?
I've been a beginner spinner for about 3 years. Mostly because I'm so addicted to knitting that there's other crafts I want to do, but I just can't find the time for them because there's all these things I want to knit, and there's so much in knitting I haven't tried yet. My background before I studied yarnology, and still is, I'm already in the industry. I own a yarn shop as well and design a little bit, do a few knitting patterns and things. So yeah, I knit all the time. Like, there's hardly a day without knitting. I'd love to try so many other things though. I'd love to actually, I can see my spinning wheel from here looking at me very neglected. I'd love to do that more. And oh, there's so much stuff to do. Just need another lifetime to do it, I think.
So then, talking about origin stories, what's your knitting origin? Yeah, what's your origin story? How did you come into knitting?
I was first sort of, I suppose, exposed to knitting as I think maybe I was maybe 8 or 9. My gran was knitting, I still remember the colour of it, it was like this baby variegated, baby colours pastel little cardigan for one of my cousins that had just been born. And I just really remember that. I loved the yarn and I really was interested in it. And I was like, I'm going to knit some doll's clothes. So my mum let me pick yarn and a pattern from Spotlight, but I picked like this lacy, quite complicated, especially for an 8-year-old or however old I was that had never done anything before. So she ended up knitting the whole thing for me. I didn't touch it. I didn't learn to knit then. And then when I was about 11 or 12, I learned to knit. So mum got this little book for me that had was for kids. So it had a little rhyme in it and taught you how to knit and let me buy all this pink and white yarn. And she just got me just to cast on and knit like this big long scarf, and I would finish a ball of yarn and then swap to the next colour. So it was like this striped pink and white scarf. And by the time I got to the end of it, I'd stopped dropping stitches and my tension had fixed up and I was like really addicted to it by just the time I'd finished that. And then I basically never stopped knitting. Then when I was through my like early teens and into my teens, I actually had a my two sisters and I had a market stall because we all did different crafts. So one beaded, one sewed and painted, and I did the knitting. So I knit little toys, and at the time, well, that really novelty yarn was in fashion. So those really fluffy,
yeah,
furry things. So I knit like furry bags and furry cushions, and they were, you know, sold them for like $15 and $10 and stuff on our market stall. So we shared our little stall. And then when I was a bit older and actually wanted to start, you know, you start thinking about an actual income and everything, I was like, I can't make a living out of hand knitting things. So I stopped doing that. Yeah. And then I discovered knitting for yourself. So suddenly I had time available to, because when you're making to sell stuff, you know, it's all very constricted on, mm-hmm. oh, yes, you'd like to make that, but no one will pay you for it if it took you, you know, 3 months to make. So then I got into making stuff for myself, and I got to discover garments and try lots of different fibers and like really get into it. So that was really fun when I actually stopped knitting to sell things. Like this whole world just opened up. It was really cool.
Oh, there you go. What's your favorite fiber that you've discovered?
I don't have a favorite. The one I knit with the most is probably like a really nice soft merino or a wool.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, yeah, I don't think I could pick a favorite because it really depends on what you're making and what you want out of it.
Like fingering weight, or are you?
Yeah, I do fingering weight the most. Whoa. I can knit a lot of fingering weight garments and things.
Well, that you're on a whole nother level there. I
yeah.
Tegan's a DK only, aren't you?
I have a hate relation, no love hate here. It's just a hate relationship with fingering weight. No. And I love to talk about it.
Is it because it's too slow?
It's too small. So because I mainly crochet, so I hold my working yarn in my fingers like this, and I work it really close to like as I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And if it's too small, I start to get a cramp in my hand. Or okay. Yeah, it starts to feels a little bit weird, feels slow, and it's like rid of it.
I reckon it's a massive achievement when you make something with something so fine, like a lace or a fingering weight, mm-hmm. and you finally finish whatever it is that you've made. You're just like, oh my god, I feel like a superhero. Like this is
the finish on like fingering weight garments. I've done a couple of DK ones and they seem so fast, and I do like them, but the fingering ones I really like because they're still thick compared to shop knits, but they're just a little bit closer. I thought I'd be fine with any weight. I thought, oh, I'm fine. I like knitting so much. I did try lace weight once and I hated it. So it was too fine. It was just, oh, it was, yeah, I'm not doing that again. Not by itself anyway. Held with something, that's fine.
Yeah.
Definitely held with something. What's the most complicated thing that you have made, like complicated garment or project?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't really go in for complicated. Hmm. I like to relax when I make stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like
that
to
is try. Smart.
Yes.
I would like to try something like steaking, but even though I don't
feel. Is that when you cut it?
That's when you chop it. So you take to your knitting with your scissors, you know, the thing that we all try and avoid.
I don't think it could.
I don't actually even understand how that works because I can't even watch. Like when I've seen it come across it in TikTok or in my reels, I actually have to swipe past it because it gives me so much anxiety. It's like, oh, I can't even look at that. Yep.
No, I don't really go in for complicated. Yeah, I like to relax. There's stuff that I made when I was more beginner that I went back to years later and I thought it was a really hard pattern, and then you go back to it and you're like, this is really easy. I don't know, you know. Yeah. But no, I like really sort of simple designs and stuff that you can just, or even if it's complicated, like fancy lace that maybe you have to concentrate on every row, it needs to click and it needs to have a rhythm that you can get into, so you can just, I don't want to be stressed out when I'm making stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's both therapeutic for quite a lot of people. And you do, there is a story that in this current issue about how knitting and how that is helps manage anxiety and mental health.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Amanda's article with the meditation. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I felt like she captured it so well. I just realized I haven't turned my phone off.
All good.
Yeah, I feel like she captured that whole, basically what I think we all experience. I feel like she summed it up really nicely.
Yeah. I was just going to see if I can find it here. Flick it through. A moving meditation.
Yeah.
And it's like a, did she write the poem? I can never say it. Poem. I always say poem. And then my mum's like, that's not how you say it.
She's in Queensland.
But at the start here.
Yeah, she wrote the whole thing.
Hmm.
Because I think she used to, I don't know if it's in the article, if it was in an email talking to her, I can't remember. I get very muddled by the time a publication comes out about who said what and what's actually in it.
Already in volume 3, isn't it?
Yes. So is my inbox. It's gone mental this week because our deadline's here. So all the submissions, my submission's coming, I will get it to you, is in there. So I'm gonna wade through all that.
So how do you come across the stories? Do the stories find you now, or are you still out there scouring for the perfect story?
They just seem to come when I finish an issue. Sometimes there's that little moment, because I'm pretty creatively zapped, because writing is very creative for me. I'm pretty zapped by the time an issue comes out. I'm like, oh my God, what if that's it? What if there's no more stories? What will I do for the next one? But then they come. You just find them. Like, you talk to people. Most of the people I talk to are, you know, crafters. Most of the people I know are my friends I've met, like, through craft or things. So, and I have a genuine interest in, obviously, knitting and crochet, but also, like, farming and wool and all of that stuff. So you just tend to come across them. Now we're in print. I'm getting a lot more submissions from people, which is really nice, because I'd like a bigger variety of voices. I do try and vary it from article to article, but obviously if I'm writing most of them, it's all going to be in a similar tone. So it's really nice to get a wider range of people's experiences and what they're doing. So, yeah, that has definitely increased since being in print. You just find them. Sometimes people send me things, even if they're not going to write the story, they'll go, oh, I met this person and they're amazing and you should talk to them. And sometimes it can be like a year or two before I'll finally get around to talking to them. So it's some stuff, some people, like, actually that are in volume 2, I've looked at talking to them for years, and then I've finally been like, yeah, now's the moment. I'll, you know, for whatever reason, you contact them and off you go with it. So they just seem to come along. It is a little bit down to chance, and feels like I don't know what's coming, so I have to prepare for, basically, if I have to have written the whole magazine, I've got the content prepared for it, and then I see what lands, you know, in your inbox around submission time, which is a little bit stressful. But most of the time I'm like, oh, there's not going to be enough, and then I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be too much, who am I going to have to kick out? And then it just all tends to pan out. It's definitely a making process. It's quite similar to making anything else. Like, it's a very handmade process for me, putting it all together.
And you can definitely see that love and that passion come through in every issue, especially, like, you can see it just from the way it's designed to the stories, the pictures, everything. You can see that it's definitely made with a lot of love.
Thank you. That's really nice to hear.
Well, that's what I think.
And I think the print is bigger than, like, the actual, because I actually had a subscription for when you were digital. My mum bought me like a couple of months worth or something like that, or a couple of issues worth. And I reckon that book is double the size.
It is. It's double the size.
Huge.
So when we were digital, I did 4 a year. They were half the size though. So I'm still doing basically 4 a year, but it's condensed into two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 128 pages, both of them, and it's not advertising free, but it's really low on advertising. But, like, that's,
do you know though, I, like, looking through that, I wouldn't, it doesn't jump out at me as advertising, the way that you've designed it, like, it just fits really nicely in with the articles and the stories.
It's relevant too, because, you know, when sometimes you pick up a book and you're just like, why is that in there?
Yeah, like an insurance relevant. Company or something's taken out of.
And I love that I can pick this up and I go, oh my God, I could actually go and visit this place because it's in Australia, or it's in my state, or it's, you know.
It's accessible. Yeah.
It's accessible, which is not something we have here. We don't have that many publications that that actually talk about that homegrown local people content stories.
And even though we don't publish patterns, so seasons don't matter as much with it, I do try mm-hmm. and like, I feel like it's nice to have something that's not where you're so used to having to have everything in reverse. Like we're just, you know, it's fine. We're very used to it down here, but it's nice to have something like for volume two. I was like, oh, it's going to come out right near winter. I want something really woolly and cozy. Whereas for summer, I might want something fresher. So it's nice to have something that's not backwards all the time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So tell us a story about how did you make that decision to go from digital to print? What made you make that leap? Because that's a massive accomplishment.
It is, yeah.
It's huge.
It was really, I'd wanted it to be in print probably, well, not from right when I started it, because like when I said, when I started it was really tiny and I didn't even have its own website for it or anything. Like it was very, very small, but as it became more of a, like apparent from the first issue that it was going to become a thing of its own, I really wanted it to be in print from the get-go. I'm a really tactile person. I love reading. I love books. I don't own a Kindle. I don't read ebooks. I love stationery, which is why even the paper choice like has had a lot of thought put into it, because I just love the way all the stationery and everything feels. I knew that if I didn't own Yarnology and it wasn't mine, I probably wouldn't read it, even though I would like it. Because I just couldn't get into digital magazines. I'd tried them before and I would literally forget they were on, like after initially reading them, I'd forget they were on my iPad. So I wanted it to be in print. But on top of that, we've got a lot of really loyal readers that have like subscribed from the get-go and have loved it, which is really nice. And they were like, oh, we love it. It's beautiful. It's great. It would be so nice though if it was in print. You know, are you going to do a print one? Does it come in print, or I prefer print or whatever? Like getting a lot of please put it in print sort of feedback. So plus the amount of work that goes into it, and like, oh, let's find a, like this is a good example actually. On a page, like when we're designing it, I can see both pages open on the computer. When it goes into a PDF, you only ever see one page at a time, because we put it in PDF, so it's really easy to like access. And that really frustrated me, because the same amount of work went into the digital ones as is going into these print ones, but I felt like it was sort of getting locked away in a box and no one could see it properly. So I was basically either going to stop doing it or take it to print. So I decided, because it was just frustrating me. Plus the customer service of a digital magazine is a little bit like being in IT. I didn't really want to be spending my days telling people how to download a PDF or access a file, which was happening a lot. I'd rather deal with missing parcels, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I thought I will survey our readers, because sometimes you feel like a lot of people are asking for something, but then when you actually stop in and check, you realise it's, you know, it's only been five. So I thought I'll do a survey. And loads of people filled in that survey, and overwhelmingly, like I think more than 95% were like, yes, we'd love to have it in print. So that was really encouraging. I had people in that survey that had been readers but had stopped because they didn't like it being in digital. So yeah, that just really encouraged me to go, maybe there's a desire for this, and give it a go. So
you know, listening to you talk about that, it makes me, like, kind of makes sense to me, because us as crafters, we're tactile. If you think about it, you know, where we've constantly got, you know, crochet hooks or yarn or whatever in our hands, and we're very tactile.
You just books upon books upon books of just, so it you makes know, sense patterns and everything, you know, instructions, yeah, and magazines, and you gotta have it in print form. It makes total sense.
I haven't met anyone who crafts yet who goes, oh no, I don't like stationery, I much prefer everything to be digital. I feel like I love stationery, it's like my other thing that I collect. surveying people gave me the feedback too, that what I thought was happening was happening. They were reading it and they were loving it, but then they were forgetting about it because it's locked away on a file. Whereas when you've got a book or a magazine, you leave it lying around, you know, it's mm-hmm. on your coffee table or your bedside, or you have a friend come over and you go, oh, hey, there was this article in here I thought you'd really like, and you loan it to them. You can't really do that with a PDF.
Mm.
Like it's a bit hard to send. It was a really big file to be able to email it to someone to share with them. So I just feel like it's a nicer reader experience. Plus the people that are in here, I feel like they're all so amazing and the work they're doing so amazing, and I really want more people to know about it. So getting out into print, that has happened. Like our audiences are much bigger, so the people who are taking the time to talk to me about what they're doing and share their story with me for me to then share in here, they're actually getting seen by a lot more people. People can share it with their friends and family. It can go into libraries. Like it's just, I feel like ironically, it's actually a lot more accessible in paper than in a file that can be sent anywhere in the world.
Well, and you can see, like I was saying to Tegan before you logged on, the pages feel like silk. Like it is just smooth, and it's such an experience just to feel and touch it, because like it's just, I don't see this as a magazine. This is like a really special book to me, because it's just the whole way that you've chosen the paper and designed it all. It's like a whole experience in itself, and then you delve into it and it's got all these beautiful stories and articles, and it's an experience. That's how I see it, and that draws me back in, going, oh wow, you know this, it's created a memory for me, that relaxing time to sit down and just immerse myself in yarn, because who doesn't love yarn? Everyone loves yarn.
Definitely not people that are reading Yarnology. You're not going to read it if you don't like yarn. I don't know anything about paper, so we went to the printers a year before I took it to print. A year before I even mentioned publicly the idea of taking it to print, so a long time. And I have no idea what different paper weights meant at that point. So there's all these other magazines and books and stuff that printed out on the table. And I literally probably spent about 40 minutes sitting there, like feeling all these different pages and then like narrowing it down and being like, oh, this one or that one, and which ones feel like. Like it was actually a really big process, and just based on how it felt and how the photo, like how colours came up on it. But yeah, it was a process. It was a bit like choosing yarn, where you're like, oh, this one going to give my finished thing the look and the feel I want it to have.
That makes complete sense to me.
I kind of want to go to this place just to feel the paper. is that weird?
Oh dear. So have you come across any like really wild and wacky stories?
I don't know if wild and wacky, there's the way you phrase it. There was one sort of part in the story that came to mind which didn't make it to print, which I'm probably not going to repeat here either. That was pretty interesting. as far as interesting people go, because I was thinking about this earlier today, because I genuinely find all of them interesting, and each issue I'm like, oh, this is the best one yet. This is my favourite, you know. Everyone like becomes my new favourite. But probably a really unique one was in one of the digital ones, which I might reprint in the print one actually at some point, was a mountaineer that I interviewed. So Bobby Hale, he's an Australian, he's a professional mountaineer, which I think part of that profession involves like, you know, being sort of the tour guide person with other people. Like he traveled all over the world for his job, and he got into knitting, like because he could do it on the plane or wherever he went. So there was like pictures of him knitting, you know, in the middle of a desert or up a mountain or in a jungle, and he was really interesting to talk to, because he was just like a really laid back, really nice person, and he just really liked doing his knitting. And this picture of him like in his camp chair with all his hiking gear and his knitting, and he was like passing it on to other people as he went, like even like places that where knitting isn't part of their culture. Wow. There's like pictures of him with the kids and they're all learning to knit, and that was a really interesting and I think quite a unique story. I don't know if there's many professional knitting mountaineers.
I feel like he needs, that's like, you know, that's his label, and you know, you need to achieve that. We need more people to do that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's so much, there's people doing all sorts of stuff everywhere, like really interesting I get really excited when I come across them. I'm like, ooh, look, this one's going to make a really good story, you know.
And I think we share that same passion, Sarah, because you know, part of the reason why we started the podcast is because this community can be so... It's not like we intentionally isolate ourselves, but we just have our little silos.
Yeah.
And then when you start to branch out and you actually talk to people and you there are so many interesting stories out there, and it's so cool to watch everyone connect.
Yeah.
And see the community come together. There's
a lot more going on under the surface. Like, I think to the general public, they're just like, oh, they're knitting or crocheting in public. That's so cool. You know, if they don't craft, but there's like, it serves like continually, it really forms connections, and it like so much stuff can branch off it.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Well, Tegan, should we go to our fast five questions, do you think?
Yes, I think so. So every Shattered episode we do a little segment called Fast Five, where I ask five questions very quickly, and it's up to you to answer them as quick as possible. So are you ready?
I hope so.
Alrighty. What is your favourite fibre?
Merino.
City or country?
Country.
Natural or bright colours?
Natural.
Knit or crochet?
Knit.
And do you need more yarn?
I think that's like irrelevant. Don't we always need more yarn?
I think we need to change this last question, Kate.
I think we need more time to go with the yarn, though, because it's all the things we want to make.
How much more time do you need?
So true.
27 hours a day, please. Yeah.
Well, here's one. If you were, this is the classic deserted island. If you could only bring three things, what would you bring?
Yeah.
Like knitting, project related. I'd have to bring chocolate. Probably have to bring a sock project because I'm always permanently knitting them. I'm never not in the mood for them. So that's pretty foolproof if you're stuck somewhere. Probably a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lord of the Rings or something really long that's gonna last you for ages. Mm-hmm. Something really long.
Is that one of your favorite books?
Yes, I read it every year.
Oh my god!
It's so detailed, right? That it takes you months to read, and then by the time like you're like, oh, I better start reading it again because there's stuff you miss. Like the stuff I miss in it. It's not like reading a normal size novel where it's like you remember the story. It's ridiculous the detail in it, so it keeps me entertained.
I remember reading to page 15 and going, I don't think I'm going to finish this. I'll wait for the movie.
Well, the movies in themselves take
weeks. It's all over Masterpiece, book and movie, like the whole thing. It's just
I saw the movies and then read the books, so.
Oh, you went the other way.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have read the book if I hadn't seen the movies.
Yeah, fair enough.
Go. You should check out. Have you come across Lisa from 111 Windmills?
Yes, I first found out about her in the Big Wool show last year, I think.
Yeah.
She's just released an advent that's like not Lord of the Rings inspired, but it's all that mythical folklore.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Creatures encrypted.
I can never say it right.
We said it wrong last time. She's like, no.
Crypt? I think it's just crypt.
Crypts, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the mystical creatures.
I'm pretty sure I follow her, but you know, that doesn't mean anything at the moment with social media.
Yeah.
So last question. What's in store? What's in the future for Yarnology? We know volume 3 is coming out in December. Is that
November.
Right? November. So what else is in store for Yarnology?
I don't know because I feel like it's been a bit of a wild ride. Like this time last year, I was just, beginning of August, so the Kickstarter just finished. So I was just getting ready to do the first print run, which was really terrifying and exciting. So who knows, what are we doing in another 12 months? Mm-hmm. I would really like it to keep going and growing and get more contributors. I think there's an endless well of interesting stories, like old ones as well as there's new things happening. And I'd like to at some point maybe be celebrating publishing its 10th issue or something in print. I think that would be pretty cool.
We will be there for that.
Oh, yes. For sure. I can. I could definitely see you taking this so far, and, you know, in a few years' time, you'd be doing, you know, monthly issues.
Oh, God. That would kill me.
Well, it's got the potential. Let's just remember this moment and we'll revisit this, you know, down the track.
Come back in the 10th issue.
Who knows what it'll look like by then?
It'll probably be this thick. Lord of the Rings style.
Might be a bit hard to post if it's that thick.
I'm sorry, you have to pick it up from your local depot.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Well, and other than like yarnology, what about for yourself? What have you got planned?
Oh, I don't know. I pretty much live and breathe work.
Yeah, because fair
it's
enough.
Like, yeah, it's so attached to like obviously craft and everything as well. So it's like it's very hard to switch off, actually. Personally, I have planned at the moment. I have committed to doing have you heard of Paugust? It's a fundraiser that the guide dogs do every year. So you commit to walking for 30 minutes a day with your dog every day in August, which isn't too bad in Queensland, but further down south in winter it's a bit more of a challenge to raise money for guide dogs. So I'm focusing on getting that done at the moment, which is not easy because August is my bit of my crazy month with yarnology, in particular with the deadlines coming in. So that's my focus at the moment outside of work.
I've never heard of that before. I love that. Such a good now I feel bad, like, because I have two dogs and I feel like I should be walking them 30 minutes, like, if, just for August.
If you sign up for it like before it starts, they and I think you have to raise I think $29 in your first 48 hours. You know, you can donate to yourself. They send you a little pedometer, so it's like a little, it's called a pedometer. You put in their weight so that it, you know, can sort of accurately count their steps, and you put it on their collar, and then you have your own page, your own fundraising page, and you can join a breed team.
This is so
and
cute.
Every day you log that you've walked, and you can put in their little steps. So like I've got a border collie, she stepped in 30 minutes like 3,000 steps or something, so you put that in and it like keeps a little tracker of it, so you see at the end of the month like how many minutes you walked and how many steps they did, and you know how much money you raised as well. It's quite fun.
That is awesome.
I need a dog. I don't have one. I've got cats.
I have two beagles, so you're welcome to one of mine.
I'm gonna have to come up here. I'll be there in 3 days.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll have to let us know how you go. We'll have to have a look at your fundraising page, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should share it, actually.
Absolutely.
So for those listening, where can they find Yarnology?
The fastest way to find out where it is, you can order it straight from us from our website, which is yarnology.com.au. But on there, you can also go to our stockists, which I really encourage you to do, to go and see if there is one near you, because our stockers are really important to us. Wouldn't be able to go to print without them. So, and, you know, yarn stores and everything are really important. We should all be supporting them, whether that's online or in person. You know, if there's not one near you, your favourite online store might be on there. And we've got it, like, divided up by country on there. So you can see Australia, New Zealand, the UK, US, and Canada. We don't have the stockers listed on Canada because we've got a Julie Aslan Yarns in Canada distributes them for us, so you'd have to contact her and see which people. But yeah, if you go on there, it's all on there. And if you can't find anyone, then you can order it off us.
Yeah, I remember when I went to the Bendigo Wool Show, your magazine was just about on every third table that I walked past. Oh, cool. I walk past, go, oh, Yarnology. Oh, yeah. Whatever stack.
And
everywhere.
I was really actually surprised about how cheap this was to purchase. Mm. So $22, if I'm right. Is that got my memory right?
Yeah.
This is worth way more than that. I'm just putting that right out there right now. You're underselling yourself there. It's beautiful. So
it doesn't have words. It's something.
I'm not very rarely speechless.
Well, it's all Australian made too, which I don't think I mentioned. So it's actually printed locally in Brisbane, which isn't very far from me. Which was really important because with the whole tone being supporting local and supporting like our local industry, bringing New Zealand in with that as well, it didn't make any sense to get it done outside of Australia. So, and our printers are absolutely lovely. They've been doing it for ages and they put up with all my endless questions because I had no idea about print before I did it. So it's a really big learning curve and they were, it's really nice getting it done locally.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to gift this to someone because it's just like, I think it's a great present idea.
Yeah,
I mean, yarn's a great gift idea, but this would be the perfect little bundle.
Just in time for Christmas, just saying. Yeah. So pop your orders, like tell your significant other, this is what I want for Christmas. Order it now.
If pre-orders are open for volume 3?
Yeah, so because we are more like a book and less like a magazine, we don't do subscriptions, we do like pre-orders, so we just open it by issue, so yeah, I've just opened those. And we're changing how we ship them this time, so if you do want yours as soon as possible, then go on like pre-order because it'll be in brackets because we're going to be doing all the shipping here this time.
Oh, wow.
Just solve a few tiny little problems that came up. And make it a bit more eco-friendly too because they'll go out in cardboard mailers instead of plastic wrap. Pre-orders are open.
Very exciting. Looking forward to it. So, yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's been so lovely. I don't often get to just talk about what I do nonstop for so long with captive audience, so it's been really fun.
Oh, yeah, we can't wait to see what you have in store and definitely looking forward to the next volume.
Yes, definitely.
And many more to come.
Going to go to my email that I got earlier.
All right. Well,
thank you again. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Touch base with you soon.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to when the podcast comes out.
So it should be released Monday, Tegan?
Monday,
That soon.
Yeah, I'll do all the editing at some point over the next day or two.
Don't envy you with that because I record the interviews that we do, but then I just like, because I can't write notes that fast because then I'll just do a transcript and then I'll write the article.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to have to edit a conversation into audio.
Well, luckily there's not like a lot of, I reckon it's a straightforward this one, so just post it up. Won't be too much editing, I reckon.
Oh, I hope so for you.
It is a visual podcast too, so hopefully you're not too worried about that. But
no, that's fine.
Our Patreon page, they get it 2 days early.
I try and do it on Saturday.
Yeah.
Before Monday. So it's 48 hours. I try.
All right. Well, we will let you go and enjoy your evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to have to go read this for a third time, Tegan.
I think so. Yeah.
I know Sarah was saying that they don't publish patterns. However, they do publish project ideas. And if you get the copy, some of them actually have discounts.
Ooh.
And there's like knits and crochet and there's this where is it? It's called the Goldfinch Sweater by Hayley Bailey.
Ooh.
It's a cozy cropped jumper. I don't know if I can you see the mustard?
Oh wow. Oh look at the arms on that. That's gorgeous. Ooh.
And there's a fox crochet baby blanket. I thought that was cute. But I'm a little bit biased.
That's why you got it. I see.
Look, I really do stand by. Like this is just it's a whole experience, and I'm so
really glad. Good to get Sarah's you know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know how she got started. I think it's really all interesting. And oh my God, like, yeah, to meet the amount of people that she has met. Well, what are we doing, Kate?
I know, we've got to up our game.
I think so. I was going to say, if you haven't already, go and follow Yarnology Mag on Instagram. You can also find them on Facebook as well. And if you haven't already, go and pre-order yourself a copy now.
Yes. And you should just, if anything, follow Yarnology on Instagram for the amazing imagery that, like, some of the, oh, like, the photos. Oh, it's just like
it's pages out of the magazine book. Because we don't know what to call it. It is just, yeah. And Sarah's so lovely. She really is lovely. Thank you so much, Sarah, for jumping on.
Yeah. It's actually a little, I love seeing female entrepreneurs
succeed.
It's just amazing. It gives me so much hope for us in our little patch of the world.
Patch of the world, yeah. It was, my heart was actually just like singing when she was saying, you know, when she put the survey out to say, did you want to go to print? And 95% of the people, I'll be honest, I did the survey and I said, I don't really care. I'm happy with the digital at the time. So I'm that 5%. But it just made my heart sing thinking, oh my God, although that amount of people were happy, like they love what you do. And it just made me like, oh my God, like you're succeeding. It was just, yeah. So we'll keep an eye out for the 10th issue. We'll bring Sarah back.
I think so.
Yeah.
I honestly cannot wait to see where Yarnology goes. It just, and I just love that it's Aussie.
And it's different. Yeah. It's filling in a gap that we don't have anything for.
Yeah.
Because we've got magazines with patterns in it, like you say, a couple of articles here and there. All the other books that are available, either tutorials or, you know, how to and what have you, but there's no reading material about our makers and crafters in the community.
I think what I really, really enjoyed about this is, well, I could access blogs with the, you know, similar kind of articles. It's what it's actually doing is disconnecting me from screen.
Yes.
And it's making me sit down. Like I've been, you know, out in the yard while, you know, little fox is running around and just sitting down in the sunshine. And it just gives you just that disconnect from the busyness of the world and
getting to be able to into something else. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know this. There's an article in here about a Kiwi initiative called, where is it? Knit something live. What's it called? Where is it? Here it is. Make, Give, Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like this woman who just started up. She just saw that there was, you know, people like loneliness was really rampant. And the whole thing was you buy a beanie and the initiative, you know, makes you one, but then they give one to someone in need. Anyway, what was really cool is that when Megan and Harry, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were touring a few years ago, their, you know, people got in touch with these guys and was like, hey, could you make a beanie for Archie? Or at that point, Archie wasn't born. He was still, you know.
Cooking. Yeah.
Anyway, and they said, yeah, no worries. So they bought a beanie.
Yeah.
Well, Megan Markle actually ended up, like, you know, once he was born, came back and bought like two or three different sizes. And they didn't realize, but then like Archie was pictured wearing the beanie, and then all of a sudden like their sales went through the roof because, you know, anytime a royal wears something. And they were able to like gift all these beanies to people.
What an incredible story.
Right.
Oh my God.
It gave me goosebumps reading that. I thought, oh, that's so cool.
Oh my God. I got to get myself a copy of that one and number three as well.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. And definitely, I put this on your Christmas gifting list. I definitely will be. I know at least three people.
And $22 is like, that's KK worthy as well. So even if, like, you know, you're doing your KKs for work, you could say to a colleague, hey, just one of those is fine, $20. It's under the 30 minimum. That's fine. Don't worry about the $8. It's all good.
I'm honestly baffled. Like, Sarah needs to charge more. Honestly, yeah. Tell us what you think. Have you got a copy? Let us know what you think. I'm going to stop talking about it because I've talked about it for an hour. But
you haven't talked about it and yet you're speechless. Does that make sense? Stopped talking about it, but you're speechless.
Because it's just an experience.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think I've come across a magazine or a book or anything. I'm not a big reader. I listen to a lot of things. I do a lot of podcasts and audiobooks. Mm-hmm. I haven't come across a print book magazine that has actually given me this spark.
It's bringing you joy.
It is. And we need a bit more of that at the moment, I think.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And this is like the longest outro.
Oh, who cares? You guys don't care. You love hearing us talk, I'm sure. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. Just saying.
So if you just want to fast forward 5 minutes, long story short, go and get yourself a copy.
Go and get one.
Now, when I last checked, and we should have checked this with Sarah, you can still get unlimited copies of volume one. But you have
I did
to be
see
quick.
That they were still on the website. Yeah. So I'm kind of like thinking of getting all three. And I think two is definitely on the website as well.
Yep. And then pre-orders for three. So I'm, jumping in on that. Well, now I I do have to go back to my real world.
And me too.
Try and wrangle a 3-year-old into bed.
Oh God, my 4-year-old's already in bed.
Well,
7:00.
No, I don't know. So little Fox still has a nap at daycare.
Mm.
She refuses to nap during the day at home. So if she's at home with us, no worries. We can get him down by 6:37, no worries. But when she has a nap at daycare, we cannot get her down before 8:00.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's really annoying because that's my craft time.
We did the whole, what did we do with him? We put him to bed, but then we'd like give him his toys and say, you can just play for a little bit, because he'd just fall asleep with his toys. And they're usually soft toys, so he'd just be playing with them and then just fall asleep. Done. Never heard a peep out of him. And now he just goes to bed and talks to himself and whatever and then goes to sleep.
I need to try this.
Give it a go. You never know. Might not work. Work for him. Might not work for other kids.
Just quickly, I have an update on the yarn whacking ball.
Oh, yes. Pack. I saw that. Yes.
So let me just bring it wrong. Up. Yes. So
it's now the time. Now's
yes,
the time.
Now's on. The time. Hold so. On. Kyla from Die Hard Designs saw our reel and she said, it was my video you probably saw, which is, yes, it was. So sorry, Kyla, that I didn't credit you, but yes, it is. It works every time, she says. You've got to take the label off.
I know.
And she says, babe, smack that yarn. Always give it a loving spank.
So a loving, well, loving is a little bit softer than I would, you know.
Maybe you were like, it's just a flick of the wrist.
I was whacking it. So from my understanding, so the whole concept of this is that you put the ball out of its shape so that you can put your hand in to reach the middle.
Right.
I think that's my understanding of it all.
Well,
okay. Let's go take this end down and do that. So what, just like this?
Yeah.
I'm still like, it's no different to me. Now I'm just fingering the yarn.
I feel like I need to give it a go.
I think you need to give it a go. I'm doing it wrong. Where is this video? I'm going to find this video first. Make sure that I'm a visual person. This is how I learned how to crochet, everyone. I visually taught myself.
Let me get a.
Okay, hang on. I'm learning. Yarn label off. Oh, okay. No. I'm doing it totally wrong. Oh, no. Okay. I'm just fingering it back in because I'm doing it wrong.
I can't believe how many.
I'm doing it wrong.
Half. Like, it took me forever to find this.
So it's this way.
Oh, I've got to take the
until
label
it's
off.
Like a squishy ball, and then you reach in and grab it. So you're still
like
pulling
this?
It out. That way. Yes. And pull it out. Okay, you need to finger the yarn and pull it out. Stop. Where's the end? It's, yeah.
Hang
like,
on.
Yes, it works, but.
Maybe it's a
if
fine.
You like me no. And cannot stand your yarn skeins getting out of shape, then don't do it. But no. If you don't mind.
Kyla, can you give us a tutorial? Can you?
I thought the video was the tutorial.
I think you need to come on and actually like talk it through us how
okay.
To do it.
Oh my god! Okay, Kyla, you're coming on for a masterclass. We're gonna have a masterclass on how to finger
spank and
yarn
finger.
And
spank
pull
it
out.
Oh, that was really bad timing.
It was.
Oh, look at this.
Hi, kiddo. Oh, honey bunch, what happened?
We tripped over our own feet and ate concrete.
Oh.
Hey. Mm. Yeah. Anyway. We all have to love you and leave you.
Yes. But thank you, Sarah, for coming on. And
yes. Can you
talking
say,
about the magazine.
Little Fox, can you say buying yarn? Say
yeah,
and using it.
Using it.
It's two different hobbies. Say two different hobbies.
Two different hobbies.
Happy crafting.
Happy crafting.
This is something that's stuck in my head at the minute. My son sings it all the time with me now because we both love it.
What is it?
Welcome back to What's Inside That Rock? Today's rock. Let's crack it open and see what's inside. A beautiful combo of quartz and quartzite.
What's inside that rock?
Plus some tiny euhedral crystal clusters.